Hey, I am, first of all, so honored to be here. It is just a reflection of living my life for the Lord. I've been saved since I was 4, and there's ups and downs along the way, but it's crazy to think it's been 28 years of living for him. And so when I was asking him what to speak about, the Lord really wanted me to be vulnerable and talk from a place of experience. So when I am speaking, it's because I've walked through this. And I heard him say, I just keep hearing him. I was even praying about this morning, and I just hear the Holy Spirit say, awake, O sleeper, awake, awake. And so this is conviction for me, and I'm not speaking down, I'm speaking with. So first of all, I just want to pray. Jesus, we thank you, marvelous creator of the heaven and earth, who knit us in our mother's womb. You know us best. You know when we fail and you know when we rise. And your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I ask that you would just use me as your vessel. I partner with you, Holy Spirit. Would you help me to communicate your truth with wisdom and humility and grace? That it's not me speaking, but it's you speaking through me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this generation and this time. That there is hope and there is glory ahead. That we can look ahead and look straight at you, not worry about what's going on to the right or left, but that you've called us for more. So, Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would release wisdom and revelation this morning. That you would be glorified and magnified in this place. We love you, Lord. Amen. So we're going to start with Revelations 3, 1 through 3. If you would like to, in honor of his word, to just stand and we will read this together. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. This is hard stuff. He's not talking to the lost. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to his church. And I asked the Lord what he wanted to say, and he wanted to address spiritual apathy. So what is spiritual apathy? Well, apathy is to be without feeling or care. So spiritual apathy is to be numb to the presence of God, lacking the motivation to grow closer to him and to do his will. And it's not a sudden thing. This comes in slow little tidbits to where suddenly you don't even realize you haven't talked with him, you haven't spent time with him. His name does not stir your heart. So there are things that happen to cause this. So how does it start? First is disobedience. And it can be small, it doesn't have to be big. It can be, oh, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit tell me I need to read. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, I stayed up too late last night. I can't get up early. I need that sleep to function. And you skip it. And you're like, I'll do it later in the day. You start getting busy. And then you get even disobedience. Hey, I need to strive at work and I need to work hard. Oh, I'm so tired from staying up so late last night. And you start to become lazy. That is disobedience. He wants you to work hard for him, to glorify his name even in the workplace. And then you say, you have something going on and you don't tell someone last minute and you have to lie and be like, oh, sorry, no, I need to go home just to rest. But really, you want to like go hang out with friends. That is disobedience. These are little things that start to happen, and it can start small. And it leads to a hindered heart. And I just want to read James 4:17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. What that means is it's relationship. It's not an equation. It's not like this is what everyone has to do all the time, every day. No, it's unique. And that means the Holy Spirit speaks. As soon as you give your life to Jesus, Holy Spirit's in you and he's speaking and moving. Are you listening? And when you start to be like, oh, I don't want to do that, Lord, or I'm scared, this is scary. Oh, you want me to talk to my employees and my fellow workers? I'm too scared. No, not today. That's disobedience. What if he's going to move through you powerfully and you miss it? What if it's the chance for someone to give their life over just with a little talk that he was going to have you do? And it starts small. And I was asking the Lord, like, so why do we do this? Like, why? We know, it's like Paul, it's like, why do I do the things that I'm not supposed to do and I don't do the things I should do? We disobey because we think we have time. If you realized you were going to die within an hour, you would get your life right. You would do everything the Lord had. And you wouldn't miss a beat. You'd be so attentive to what he had. And the question is, are you ready to die? And if the answer is no, prepare your heart. You never know the time or hour. And so it comes with this steadfastness that we need as believers. This world needs us. That's the whole reason we're living here on earth. It's for them. It's not for us. We already have the answer. We have Jesus. He is our life source. He is our strength. He is our grace, our mercy, and the world does not have it. So we have to act like our life is a battle. And so when we forget that and shift to our own life and we just turn inward, we lose sight. And if you actually look at James 14 earlier in verse 14, in James 4:14, you say, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Your life is a vapor. It's just a vapor, and it's gone. And that's hard to realize when you're suffering. Suffering feels long, and it's easy to grumble. And this is what happens in the next step. We get disappointed, and we have deferred hope. And it leads to this numbness because we're like, well, I can't trust him now. It didn't happen how I wanted. I'm having struggles in this relationship. I got overlooked at work. I got berated when I did nothing wrong. And it turns to this disappointment and it turns to mistrust. We forget that God is good and he is above our suffering. He can turn our suffering to good and glory. And we miss sight because we're so focused on what's happening to us now. And we lose sight of eternity. And with that, let's look at Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And the question for that is, what is your hope in? Is it in an outcome? If that's the case, you're going to be sick a lot. But if it is in Jesus and him being glorified, even use me in my suffering, Lord, that you would get all the glory. It's not about me. Then suffering becomes joy because it can be used and it can bring glory to him. So it's this ebb and flow of talking with the Holy Spirit and letting him be in the suffering, use the suffering, endure the suffering. And then when that happens, so first you're disappointed, you're disobedient, and it's just little tiny disobedience that turn into big disobedience. You become disappointed because things aren't happening, your heart is sick, and then you get distracted. Well, I'm sick and I don't like this feeling. I need to feel better. So I'm going to choose other things that are immediate that help with this. And that can even turn small. For me, because again, I went through this, guys. That's why I'm talking about it. I've walked through it. And I'm literally on the other side right now. I was obsessed. I became, because I was coping with entertainment. I found myself, it literally started small. I didn't want to deal with some stuff that was hurting my heart. And I was like, I'll just turn on a show. And then I had more and more time. So I was like, this show is really good. I'm like, I'm not thinking about anything that's going on. This is nice. So then you start watching it more. And it got to the point, guys, where I was almost watching like every hour that I had free. And I became so numb. I stopped talking to him. I stopped being in his word. I literally went through the motions. And you can do that so easily and hide. You can serve, you can come to church, and you think you're all good. And it got to the point where I was like, oh no, am I gonna be, like if I were to die in that place, I would be the one in heaven being like, Lord, Lord, don't you know me? I did all these things for you. Depart from me. I don't know you. And it was like that place. And I was just like, that's scary. That is so scary. I don't know you anymore. I know you. I don't know you. And that's where it needs to come in. It has to not be about what you know of him. It has to be what you know of him. And that takes time. That takes devotion. That takes sacrifice. Proverbs 4:25-27 says, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your feet from evil. And that's what starts to happen. This isn't feeling good. I don't want to work on this. It's too hard. Or it's suppressed. And you don't realize, and you're not willing to spend time with the Holy Spirit to reveal this, and you just start looking at other things because it's easier. It's easier. Living for this world is easy. You just have to focus on yourself. And that can be fun for the moment and easy for the moment. But long term, it leads to destruction. It leads to death. So we need to be diligent. Keep your focus straight ahead. Keep your eyes on the glory and eternity of the one who is to come. Your life is just a vapor. And when we start looking down and we start looking at other things, we forgot we've already walked off the path. And that's, again, where this numbness comes. So here are the dangers of spiritual apathy. This is how you get in that place. You're disobedient, you're disappointed, and you're distracted. So now you're in apathy. I don't care. I don't really care about spending time with him. Worship doesn't move me. I'll sing. You know, it's good. I can look good, but it doesn't move my heart. I don't really want to talk to you, Lord. I'd rather listen to something else, watch movies, go through the spinning wheel of videos that are endless that can take literally 5 hours of your life without you even realizing it. It's easy to do that. What it does, it makes you ill-equipped. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You become so apathetic, you don't care. I don't care about preparing. I don't care about praying for my future. I don't care about the world. I don't care about praying over my leaders. I forget that this battle isn't against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual realm going on, and we forget that. Sober spirit means single-minded. You have one focus. Are you sober? Are you of sober spirit? Or are you all over the place? Have you lost your focus on the one? Ephesians 6:10-8. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. It doesn't say, let's be dressed. Let someone dress you. Put on. It's action. You have to do this. If you don't, you're going to be attacked and you're going to be ill-prepared and ill-equipped. So put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We can't lose sight. We have to focus on heaven, his will, his glory. And when we refuse to put on the armor daily, we get attacked. We have to be alert. If you look at Gideon and his army, again, he's fighting 135,000 men and he has 32. That's still huge weakness. But God's like, no. You need less. You want to know how he picked 300 men? By observing the ones who were ready. Even when they were resting, how were they resting? Were they resting with preparation for any attack at any time? Or were they relaxed, lazy, and unfocused? He picked the ones that were alert at all times. And we can't forget that. This battle is constant. It's in the spiritual realm. And the thing the devil wants is a sleeping church. He wants us to be asleep and not ready for the schemes of the enemy. Then it makes you ill-prepared. So you don't have the right equipment. You're not ready for what's to happen. And you can become like the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 12. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Verse 4 and 5, okay. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Verse 9. But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Oil is representative of his presence. Have you been in his presence? Or do you think you have enough time and you'll do it later? I'm too tired. I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I don't want to do this right now. And you're like, I'll do it later. And you miss your chance. You miss your shot. The prudent virgins had it ready. They've been in his presence. And the thing is, it cost a purchase. It cost something. It's not like it's given. It's not like the Holy Spirit does everything. We partake and participate in a relationship with him. He doesn't do everything for you. You need to cultivate your environment. You need to collect your oil. He freely gives it, and freely we can receive. But are your arms open and ready, or are they closed around other things? It comes with a cost. Time, devotion, sacrifice. Are you willing to pay it, or do you want the easy way out? Then it makes you ill-informed. Luke 13, 1 through 9. Jesus is going around the market and he hears some Jewish men talking about a situation. There were some Galileans who died at the hands of Pilate, and he was hearing and he knew their hearts, and he said, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate?" See, their eyes weren't on themselves. They were trying to argue their way that they're better. They didn't die because, they're not as big of a sinner. And Jesus said, that's not why they died. But if you do not repent and change your heart, you will perish. Are you comparing, trying to validate, make excuses for your choices? Are you living above reproach? Can people who want to harm you and hurt you, can they actually get away with a lie? Or do you live so righteously that their lies are obvious and people can deny it immediately? Or are you kind of making room for temptation, room for the enemy to come in and distort your character? We have to live above reproach. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Just because you're doing things for the Lord, it's what I had quoted earlier, like you go to heaven and they come and say, "I've done all these things. I prophesied, cast out demons, healed the sick in your name." He's like, "Depart from me. I don't know you." Are you so busy doing things that you've forgotten the one thing? Are you not going to your secret place, but rather the public place? I'll look good. I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing this and this and this. But are you actually spending time with him and talking with him and hearing and knowing his voice? And it can easily become that, and you can hide. It's so easy to hide, guys. Once you know the right things to say and the things to do, it is easy to hide. So are you hiding and sleeping? And the thing also to realize, when you start to compare, I'm doing all these things. That person is literally not even standing for worship. What the heck? What sinner are they? I at least stand and worship and open my hands to glorify him. I'm at least praying over people. What is that person doing? They haven't prayed for a single person. Once the spirit of comparison comes in, pride will blind you. You will think you are right with the Lord, and you are not. It takes humility and grace and acknowledgement. I am no better. No one is righteous, not even one. So it all comes down to you falling asleep. So how do you wake up? First, it takes acknowledgement and acceptance. You have to acknowledge you've been sleeping. You have to come to that realization. If you are unwilling to accept that you've been sleeping, you will stay asleep. There has to be this recognition that I've been napping this whole time and I need to wake up. Then it needs to be acceptance of that truth and then letting the fear of the Lord overtake you. Some people distort the fear of the Lord. They think it's being scared of his wrath, which it's a part of it, but it is awe and reverence. He is so mighty and he is so good and he is so worthy. He is good all the time, even in your suffering. Even when things aren't going the way that you thought they would or should, he is good. And if even right now, as I'm saying, God is good and you're like, that's hard for me to say right now, it means you don't know him. And that's okay. Knock and the door will be opened. He does not hide himself. He is always willing to come and spend time with you. He is chasing after you. But if you've been hardening your heart long enough, it comes to the point like Pharaoh where God hardened his heart for his will and purpose. So if you've been hardening your heart long enough, he's like, okay, I'm going to use this hardness to give myself glory and to redeem others. You are not without hardening. So we need to be diligent in this walk. The fear of the Lord makes you clean. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is a fountain of life. It brings mercy and grace and glory. The fear of the Lord is good. We have to come back to a place of awe and reverence. And if that is something that is hard for you, ask the Holy Spirit. Give me the fear of the Lord. Reveal yourself. When I was in this place of apathy, I was so numb. Guys, I was numb. I was doing all the things, but I was like, I don't feel anything. It's not always about feeling. Feelings are indicators of what's going on. I was so numb that I was just like, yeah, I don't really want to spend time with you. And the things that I would talk about were not him, anything else. What have I been watching? What's the new book I'm reading? What are all these other things? And the thing is, what you talk about is what you love. So are you talking about him? That is an indicator of what you worship. And I was not loving him. And I was so gone. And I asked the Lord, I knew I was in this place. I knew that I was numb and I just couldn't get out of it because you can't get it out yourself. But I came before him and I knew entertainment was an idol. And I was like, Lord, help me with this entertainment. Over and over, I kept coming to this place. And yet I kept running back and I was like, how can I get out of this? Please, Jesus. And he said, your entertainment is just a cover. And I was like, okay, what is it covering? And it was disappointment and deferred hope. I was hoping for all these things to happen and it wasn't, and it just happened over and over and over, and my hope was in something else, to where I got so sick and so numb. I just wanted to distract myself from him. And until that place, it was like my eyes were opened. You can pray over something over and over and over again, but until you found the key, freedom doesn't come. So you must seek the Holy Spirit and ask him, what is going on? What is that key to open the door to freedom? Because I am still bound by this thing. And you can be like, God, take it. God, take it. Sometimes he does, and he knows when it is right to do that. And for others, it doesn't go away, and there's a reason, because there's something deeper he wants to unlock and release and free you from. It's like anger is just a cover. You could be actually disrespected, and you're angry, and that's the real truth. You feel disrespected, and that's why you're responding in anger. It's not because you're just angry, Or you could be depressed and your depression has gotten you so angry that's all you can think about and respond in. It's just like that. It's just a cover. So what is holding you in prison? Ask for the real truth. Then it comes to repentance. So you have to accept that you've been sleeping. Ask for the fear of the Lord because it will make you clean. It will bring springs of life and it will bring mercy and grace. Then once you come to that realization, repent. Turn the other way. So for me, because entertainment was an idol, I had to fast and then I had to put a rule in place for myself. I cannot, unless I ask the Holy Spirit, he says, okay, I cannot watch entertainment alone. My alone time is for him. I can watch it with others. That's completely fine. But it had become such an idol for me that I would just go back, right back into distraction mode. And it is so freeing. Hard at first, because that's your easy way out. But then it's easy now. I love my alone time, and I have a lot of it. Like at work, I'm at a computer, I can multitask, I can literally be spending so much time with Jesus now, rather than listening to music or putting on a show and multitask. Like I can get to spend time with Jesus every day, almost all day long, and it is beautiful. So now you've come to repentance, and you don't want to go back asleep. How do you stay awake? You must cultivate your field. We are all farmers of our spiritual life. You cannot force crops to grow. You cannot produce your own fruit. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But you can tend the field. You can make it to where it is ripe for growth. Okay, what makes my field ready? Read the word. Read it. It is a sword. It is a light. It is your defense against the schemes of the enemy. This is your life. Eat it. It is your bread. It is your water. This isn't something that's supposed to be taken lightly. It is literally how we know how to live this life. And if you're just relying on social situations or I'm just going to pray all the time, that's not bad. Pray constantly. Have that heart posture. But how are you going to know how to pray if you don't know his word? This is literally a guide to Jesus. He is speaking through this. This is alive. It's not dead scripture or just words on a page. When you read this, your life is transformed. Even if you're not feeling it, oh, I don't feel like reading. I'm going to be diligent even when I don't feel like it and read. And it will transform your life. He is faithful and true. The other thing is you can pray, worship, but also have thanksgiving. That is such a key to peace, to restoration, to have joy in suffering. Are you having this heart posture of thanksgiving? And if you're not, come to the word and joy and thanksgiving will come. If you're not feeling it, speak scripture over yourself. This is how you defeat the enemy. It is not with all the magical words you can think of and having the Holy Spirit come. That's good. Those are tools. But Jesus defeated the enemy in the wilderness with scripture. That's it. That's all he did, with quote scripture at him. Even though the devil knew scripture, it was a weapon that defeated him. So we need this word. The other thing is, don't do it alone. We have to have accountability. We were made for fellowship. James 5:16 says, confess your sins unto one another. Pray over one another and you will be healed. We have to confess. You have to have some people in your life that you can be vulnerable with. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Whoever confesses their sins will be freed. So we need to be in community. And if you're feeling isolated, cry out for help. Isolation is the death of spiritual thriving. We need one another. We need to pray over one another. He is faithful and true. His mercies are new every morning. So no matter if you've been tainting your spiritual life, I'm going to do this demonstration. I honestly wasn't, but I'm going to do it quick. This is your life. When you give your life to Christ, he renews you. You are clean. You are pure. No sin. But again, it takes a little bit of disobedience. I don't want to talk to that person now, Lord. Oh, I'm really hurt right now. I don't want to spend time with you, Lord. You know what? I'd rather go spend time with friends than sit here with you, Lord. Are you water anymore? Or are you just acai berry storm? Is that your life? And here's the amazing thing, is when you come to this place of acknowledgement, I am no longer clean, I am no longer water. I need to change. Let the fear of the Lord come and repent. His mercies are new. You get to start over. You are not stuck. There is hope. His mercies are so good, guys. So I call to you, wake up. Wake up. We are done sleeping. The enemy has had enough. The world needs you. If you have breath in your lungs, you have purpose. If you have lost sight of your purpose, go to him and he will tell you exactly what you need to do in this life. He has so much more. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that you call us out of darkness into light, that you have the very best intentions and purpose and will for us. Father, forgive us for being asleep. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would fall afresh in this place. Bring conviction in our hearts. For those who are sleeping, Holy Spirit, prompt them to wake up. We cannot live this life alone. Yet you call us to glory, to glory, to glory. Let us walk in holiness and righteousness with you. Lord, wake us up. Wake us up. This life is too important to be sleeping and missing it. We need to wake up. So Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way in us tonight. If there are things that are causing us to sleep, cut it, Lord. Cut it out. Teach us, Lord, to put you first. Keep our eyes straight in the path ahead of us, not looking to the right or left. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up. Woo us with your love, with your goodness, with your joy. For you are so worthy. You are so worthy. Holy, holy, holy are you. I just pray the fear of the Lord to fall in this place, that we would leave changed and transformed, no longer wanting to be who we were yesterday, but wanting to walk in righteousness and truth and purity, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. Wake us up.